So in this section, we see they have, they're talking about the New Testament approaches. We've looked at Luke here in his gospel in Acts. They've dealt now with Paul. Next, they're going to move on to two other New Testament writers, John and Peter, and that will kind of end this particular historically New Testament era with regard to apologetics.
Right. Right. So the Apostle John followed a strategy similar to Paul's adoption of Greek philosophical and religious terms in his gospel, in which the pre-incarnate Christ is called the Logos, the Word, in John 1:14, and then it's also carried on in 1 John 1:1. The notion of a pre-existent Word involved in God's creation of the universe had Old Testament associations, right? So what does John 1 sound like? Well, John 1 sounds like Genesis 1, sounds like Psalm 33. Undesigned happenstance that's done purposely. Right. Pick your favorite song and your next favorite artist does a cover song. I think these sound similar. Well, yes, they're supposed to. Still, to any Gentile or Hellenistic Jewish reader, the term logos would have immediately conjured up Platonic and Stoic notions of universal reason that was believed to govern the cosmos and was thought to be reflected in the rational mind of every human being.
Right. However, the announcement by John that this logos was personal, that he was God's son, in verses, right. John 1:14-18, had become, and the logos had become incarnate, right, had become flesh, was shocking to both Jews and Greeks. And it required a completely new way of looking at God and humanity to believe that Jesus was a divine logos incarnate. So that's kind of John's approach, at least with respect to the first portion of his gospel. He's trying to show that this logos that the Gentiles had at least some notion of what they believed it was really the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who became man.
Right.